We shall turn to the Word of God in the first book of Chronicles, chapter 4. First Chronicles, chapter 4, before the book of Psalms, before the books of Ezra and Nehemiah. First Chronicles, chapter 4, and reading at verse 9. We have in this portion the prayer of Jabez. Chapter 4, verse 9. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, "Because I bear him with sorrow." And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." And God granted him that which he requested. If we desire direction for prayer, what we have before us is a fitting, suitable prayer. And we considered on Sabbath morning last the sixth petition of the Lord's Prayer, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And in this prayer before us, we have a request that God would keep Jabez from evil, that it may not grieve him. And this was a prayer that was answered, and God granted him that which he requested. So what do we pray for in our prayers? We should pray for the Lord's blessing. It is the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. We are to pray that the Lord would do good, as he has promised. Psalm 125 and verse 4, the psalmist says, "Do good, O Lord, unto those that be good, and to them that are upright in their hearts." Here is a man who was upright in his heart. Here is a man of piety. Jabez was a man who went to God in his trouble, and he prayed to the God of Israel, that his prayer was acceptable. Here is a suitable prayer. And with the Lord's help, we will consider, first of all, the man, Jabez, and secondly, the prayer of Jabez, and thirdly, the answer to his prayer. The man, the prayer, and the answer. Who was Jabez? Well, we are not told much about his ancestry, and we can only guess that he was the son of Koz, verse 8, because we read that Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. We are not told who his brethren are specifically, but perhaps they were those who are mentioned in verse 8. Again, this is 1 Chronicles chapter 4 and verse 8. And Koz begat Anab and Zobibah and the families of Aharel, the son of Haram. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. So we may assume that his brethren were the persons mentioned in the previous verse, but we are not even certain about that. But Jabez was a man who called upon the God of Israel, and that is the important thing. Jabez felt his need, and he went to God in his need. And he was more honorable than his brethren. We're not told why, apart from this fact that he prayed a suitable prayer, which was answered, and his life, as a result, was actually a contradiction to his name. His name means sorrowful, Jabez, sorrowful. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, "Because I bear him with sorrow." And perhaps when he prays that God would keep him from evil, that it may not grieve him, he is reflecting upon his name. His name described his entrance into the world, as his mother says, "Because I bear him with sorrow." And he prays that his end would not be like his beginning. And that's what we should all be praying, that our end would not be like our beginning. We have come into this world as sinners, dead in trespasses and sins. As David says, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." That's our beginning. Jabez's mother appears to have had hard travail or labor when Jabez was born, and so she calls his name Jabez. And here's this newborn baby, and she calls him Jabez, which means sorrowful, reminding her and others about his entrance. But the fact of the matter is, however our own birth was attended with various circumstances, the fact is we were born in sin. We were shapen in iniquity. We have come into the world from the womb speaking lies. And if we've never told a lie, our hearts are uttering lies. How do our hearts utter lies? When we do not believe God, we're saying that God must be a liar. If we rely more upon our own thoughts and way of thinking, and we disbelieve the truth, well, we're telling lies. We're saying God is a liar, and that's a lie. So the point is, the heart of man, which is true of all of us, is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And have we been convinced of that? We are not converted unless we are first convinced of our sin and misery. And we need to be also enlightened in our minds in the knowledge of Christ. And no one knows Christ by nature. No one loves God by nature. There's no natural love in our hearts to God. But it is only the work of the Spirit that puts within us a new heart, and therefore a heart to love God, looking to Christ, who is the author and finisher of our faith, and whose blood of his own sacrifice of himself cleanseth us from all sin. And have our eyes been opened to see that? You see, we need to pray that our end would not be as our beginning. Man is born unto trouble. Job chapter 14, verse 1, "Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble." That's our life, full of trouble. But the only way to die well is to be born again. It's not enough to be born in this world in happy circumstances. That will not save us from hell. As we have heard, the world and its pleasures cannot give us everlasting life. The world and its pleasures will end in doom and destruction, eternal death. But if we experience a saving change, and if we look to Jesus for salvation, then we will die well. We will have a happy ending. We will go to heaven at last. And God will give us that which is most of all blessed. That is eternal glory. That is how Jabez ended. God granted him that which he requested. Well, his was a sorrowful beginning, Jabez. And his mother bare him with sorrow. But Jabez called on the God of Israel. And that's what we should be doing. Jabez had a special need, it seems, at this time. He was likely going on some excursion to rid Canaanites from his territory. That's why he prays that God would enlarge his coast or his borders, that God would help him in this, and that God would keep him from evil, that it would not grieve him. And he was well known after this. And it appears that a city was actually named after him, as we find in 1 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 55. "And the families of the scribes which dwelt at Jabez, the Tirathites and the Shimeathites," and so on. So the Jews say that Jabez was a doctor of the law, that he had scribes who he drew to himself, and so that the city was actually called by his name after that. So he was more honorable than his brethren. God honored him. And God tells us in his word, "Them that honor me will I honor." Are we endeavoring to honor God in our lives? That's a question that every one of us should be asking ourselves. Do I desire to glorify God? Is it a genuine, sincere, inward, deep desire within me that I don't always feel all the time that I wish I would, but is that desire there? At times do I sense that I really desire God's will and His glory, His honor? Do we desire to honor God in our lives? Well, Jabez called upon the God of Israel, and that is important because the God of Israel is the covenant-keeping God who promised to be a God to Abraham and his seed after him. And if God is our God, we have all that we need. We have life, we have blessing, and we are trusting in a God who will keep his promises and always be with his people. This is the God that Jabez prayed to, the God of Israel. And it appears that his prayer was also a vow. When you read the words of his prayer, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed," you see in the margin that the words are, "If thou wilt bless me," which means that if God will bless Jabez, then Jabez will do something for God. We're not told what it was, but often such vows would be followed by a sacrifice of thanksgiving. And friends would be invited, and they would celebrate God's deliverance that was given to his people. And that would be at least one part of the vow that he performed. But we believe that what is brought before us is that he is vowing to God, if God blesses him, he will more, all the more vigorously consecrate his life to the Lord. He will be wholly the Lord's, entirely set apart for God to serve him throughout his life. And we should ask ourselves, is that the effect of our prayers when they are answered? When we pray for blessings, are we using an argument in prayer that if God answers my prayer, I will use the blessing I crave for his honor and glory? I will serve him more diligently when he blesses me. So Jabez is praying to God with earnestness. And when we ask ourselves, how should we pray? Well, the larger catechism helps answer that question. We are to pray with an awful apprehension of the majesty of God and a deep sense of our own unworthiness. How many people pray as if they deserve the blessing? They demand God to help them. God, we need you now, they will say. This moment, we hear it. But we should pray of a deep sense of our own unworthiness. We don't deserve anything. We don't deserve the soil beneath our feet. As McChain says, the only thing we deserve is a place in hell. How few there are that acknowledge that, that really are convinced of that. So few. Let us pray that the Holy Spirit would convince us of that. And then we will not be so distressed when we feel that things are being taken away from us, our liberties or our possessions or our prospects and so on. We deserve nothing. Jabez no doubt felt that. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. Going to the God of Israel. The God of Israel was the one who revealed the Ten Commandments and showed the people that they were sinners. And yet I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. He redeemed his people. He saved them freely from their sins. It was unmerited favor that they enjoyed. And so it is with God's people, those who are like Jabez, praying to the God of Israel, the covenant-keeping God. Well, we should pray with a deep sense of our own unworthiness, necessities, and sins, with penitent, thankful, and enlarged hearts, with understanding, faith, sincerity, fervency, love, and perseverance, waiting upon him with humble submission to his will. And one of the things that we should pray for are these is a suitable frame of mind when we pray. Pray that God would help us to pray, that he would give us these suitable apprehensions and affections and desires in our hearts for these things that are agreeable to his will. Well, let us go on to consider the prayer of Jabez. The prayer of Jabez. And what we see is that he prayed that God would bless him. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. And the blessing of the Lord is what is suitable and what makes us truly happy. The blessing ultimately is summed up in God being our God, as we've already said. As God said to Abraham, "Fear not, Abram, for I am thy shield and exceeding great reward." We should be praying for the Lord's blessing upon all that we do that is lawful, and especially the things that are fundamental, and that is our souls and the means of grace. We should pray that if we have been baptized as infants or any part of our lives, that the Lord would bless our baptism to us, that it would be to us what it is spiritually, the symbol of our regeneration, a seal of our adoption. It is the means of grace to believers. So we should be praying that the Lord would bless us indeed in spiritual blessings and heavenly places in Christ. What are we praying for? What do we feel our need most of all? Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. Think of that. The words are, that thou wouldest bless me. It's the same Hebrew way of emphasis as God said to Adam and Eve, "In the day that thou eatest thereof, dying thou shalt die." Blessing that thou wouldest bless me with the best of blessings. Bless me indeed. Bless me verily. Is that our prayer for God's blessing, the greatest blessing of all, the forgiveness of sins, the salvation of our souls, blessings that go beyond our frail body, which we're all dying. I was reminded the other day of the poem of Baxter. Baxter preached as a dying man to dying men, and as if he would never preach again. And that's how we should preach, and that's how we should hear. What if this is the last sermon I ever hear? You should say to yourself, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed." And then he prays for enlarging. And as we've said already, perhaps he is about to engage in a warfare against the Canaanites that still had to be driven out of the land. And he's praying that God would enlarge his coast or his border, that the boundaries of his territory would expand, and that there would be peace within his land. That thou wouldst enlarge my coast, he says. And this is a prayer he had liberty to pray because God had commanded the Israelites to drive out the Canaanites. Jabez could expect the blessing of the Lord to rest upon this campaign, this enterprise, to drive out, to wage war upon the remaining Canaanites. And so we should be praying that as believers, we would continue by grace to mortify the deeds of the body, drive out the Canaanites from our own hearts, sin that rises up. And we have every encouragement to pray that God would help us fight sin because he is commanding us to do so. And we should pray that God would enlarge our hearts, just as Jabez prayed that God would enlarge his borders, so God would enlarge our hearts. As we sang in the Psalm 119, verse 32, I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. How does God enlarge our hearts? When he increases our love, when he strengthens our desire, when we are more ready than ever to put into practice the commandments of God and the instructions of his word. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. So this is a suitable prayer for us. Lord, please enlarge my heart, and I will go forward in the ways of obedience. And we should be praying that God would provide all that we need. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast. That God would provide for us whatever is in our little world, if we may say the expression. God would meet our needs and provide for us and our families. He would enlarge our coasts, our boundaries, because all that we have even now is from the Lord, and all that we need in the future, we are dependent upon God for these things, and therefore we should pray for these things. We are taught to pray, give us this day our daily bread. And if we are truly praying that prayer in a way that is according to God's will by His Spirit, we recognize that it is of God's free gift. Free gift is through Christ. As Paul says, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus, or through Christ. It's through him. So we need to be praying in the name of Christ for all that we need of God's free gift that comes to us in Christ, in communion and fellowship with him. And the prayer that we find in Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 7 is very suitable as well. Two things have I required of thee, deny them not before I die. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me. And why does he pray for this happy medium? Verse 9, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? When we're full to overflowing, we're tempted, perhaps even severely, to think that we're self-sufficient, we don't need the Lord's help anymore. Lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take thy name, the name of my God in vain. So we pray that God would give us what is suitable to our condition. Well, then Jabez also prays that God's hand would be with him. He prays for God's working. The hand is God's operation amongst his creatures and his power. Jabez had a work to do. He was going to drive the Canaanites out, commissioned by God to do so, and he needed God's hand. He wanted God to be working with him. And that's what we need. We need the power of God to sustain us in all that God would have us to do, whatever it is. We're not sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves. And what a comfort that is when we come to terms with the fact that we are absolutely weak. Then, as God helps us with the small things, it's only by his grace that we can do anything of the Lord. Well, then we can do all things by his grace. It's all of him in the first place. All comes from him. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And therefore, we should be praying for that like Jabez, as Moses prayed, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast. and that thine hand might be with me. And he says that thou wouldest keep me from evil. What kind of evil? Well, we believe all kinds of evil. Whatever is evil. That's what we should be praying for. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Jabez was known for his piety. He was a godly man, and he would be praying for the greatest of all blessings, and he would be praying for deliverance from the worst of all evils. And what is the worst of all evils? It is sin. And have we been awakened to see that? Have we been convinced of that? That the greatest evil is not prolonged suffering. Although we feel much, I hope, for everyone who is in a suffering condition. But the greatest of all evils is sin. And when God promises, no evil shall befall thee. Yes, it may apply to disease, as far as it shall serve for God's glory and our own good. But God is always true to his word, and the greatest of all evil, he will keep us from it. If we're trusting in him, as we read and sing in Psalm 91, no evil shall befall thee. God will keep us from despair. He will keep us from an unlawful course of action. He will preserve us in every affliction, in every situation. He will keep us from succumbing to doubt and fear if we're trusting in him. So this is what we're to be praying for, that God would keep me from evil. And if it, and yes, that he would keep us from temporal evils, if that be his will, if it's for his glory and my good. We're to be praying for these things, praying for temporal blessings, temporal deliverances, that we would not be injured in our bodies, that our names would not be injured. God would keep us from all of this evil. But the greatest evil of all is sin. Oh, that thou wouldst keep my heart from evil. Keep me from the evils of my own heart. He says, oh, that thou wouldest keep me from evil. You look in the margin and it says, do me from evil. What does that mean? Well, that's a more literal translation. Perhaps it means that God would restrain the evil. He would work from the evil. He would suppress it. He would conquer it. He would destroy it. That's what we pray for in our own souls, that God would destroy this evil in our hearts. And that God would preserve us. I've been reading Richard Sibbes on the text, the Lord will preserve me from every evil work, deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me into his heavenly kingdom. And God will preserve his people from every evil work. It's a work of evil of the devil, and a work of evil of our own hearts. God will keep us from that, so that even if we do pass through suffering and death, God will preserve us to his heavenly kingdom, into heaven itself. Friends, that is where believers are going. We're not to make our nest and rest in this world. We're to be looking upward above the clouds, through the skies, to the throne of glory. That's where we're to be looking upward, to Jesus, to him who is on the throne of grace. And I think it was Sibbes who said, we are slower to go to the throne of grace than Jesus was to go to the cross. He went to the cross for us, willingly, lovingly. How that should constrain us to live and do and even die for him, serving him with all our heart. So that here is the argument in prayer, that God would bless us, and if he blesses us, we will live for him. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, that thou wouldst enlarge my coast, and thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. He prayed to be kept from sorrow. His name reflected sorrow that he that attended his birth in this world, but he did not want to have his end as the beginning. He wanted to have a happy life and end, and he did. God kept him. God blessed him. God enlarged his coast. God's working hand was with him. God kept him from evil, and it did not grieve him. And God granted him that which he requested. God protected him. God is the God of all comfort. He comforts us in our sorrows. He binds up the brokenhearted. He does not contend with his people forever. As we've quoted before, Isaiah 57, "Neither will I always be wroth, for the spirit should fail before me, and the souls which I have made." He restores comforts to his people. He doesn't delight in man's sorrow. He doesn't delight in the grief of his people. He gives them blessing. He's willing to bestow good things upon his creature. He does not afflict willingly nor grieve the sons of men. And God granted him that which he requested. So in the third place, the answer to the prayer of Jabez: whatever is asked in faith, whatever is asked according to God's will, whatever tends to his glory and the spiritual good of his people, that is what God grants to his people. And sometimes we feel, even before the specific request is granted, that the Lord is answering our prayers. When we feel assured that God is hearing us, he's enabling us to pour out our hearts before him, and we feel that God is near us, and that's the equivalent of the answer to the specific need. If God is near us, if God is granting his presence, that is sufficient for every believer in that experience, I would assure you, to know that God loves me, that he cares for me. You can take anything and everything away, but if God is my God, that is enough. My shield, my exceeding great reward. Well, Jabez, God was gracious to him and granted him that which he requested. And God will give us what we need. He will help us. He will provide for us. He will give us grace. He will uphold us in the difficult times. He will preserve us from all evil. He will preserve us to heaven at last. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. Here is true honor. If we're walking uprightly, if we're seeking to please God like Enoch, Enoch walked with God and he pleased God. Them that honor me will I honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. There are plenty of despisers. There are blasphemers. There are scoffers in this world, almost an endless number of them. Whose side are we on? With whose ranks are we going to join? Will it be with Jabez and those who had faith following the steps of Abraham? Or is it going to be Satan and Cain and Judas and Julian the Apostate and all the scoffers of this world? Let us follow the Lord, like Caleb, who said, "I have fully followed the Lord my God." Let us pray the prayer of Jabez in this time of calamity and uncertainty. Look to him, Jesus Christ. Pray in the name of Jesus and pray this prayer from the heart by the grace of God. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." And God granted him that which he requested. May he bless his word. Jeremy, would you pray?